Yes, Lord, our heart cries out to you, and we thank you so much for meeting us here. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you have sustained us, and you will continue to do so, because you are God and our King. And Father, we love you, we praise you, and we honor you in Jesus' name. And all God's children said,
amen.
Awesome. Hey, Happy New Year. How many of y'all were up till midnight? And you still came out. That's awesome. That is awesome. You know, I was going to stay up and watch the ball drop, but then I realized the 49ers weren't playing last night. Not bad for a guy who doesn't watch football. I actually had to look up who was the worst team this year because I had no idea. So oh, was it the – well, not according to the internet, so I don't know if they were wrong, but there you go. Enjoy that one. That's the only football joke you'll get from your pastor. but, you know, it is awesome to be here in God's house. What a way to start off the year by seeking the Lord's face. Yes, amen. If you would please stand as I read just a little piece of scripture, but let's give it some reverence. Revelation chapter 21, verse 5. Now, if you are on my Facebook, you know this was my verse for today. Revelation 21, verse 5. Then he who sat on the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." And he said to me, "Write, for these words are true and faithful." Father, we thank you that you are true and faithful. Your word is true and faithful. And Father, right now, Lord, as we partake of your word, may we glean all that we can so that we, Lord, in turn, might be true and faithful to you. Lord, we love you. We praise you and honor you in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Now, I've entitled my message this morning, New Year's Resolve, Not Resolution. If you want a Bible, the ushers are traveling up and down the aisles to get one into your hand. We know that God makes all things new. His word just told us that. Now, maybe this last year has ended and you go, man, what a year. Or maybe you're saying, wow, what a year. For me as a Christian, I can say that I have had the opportunity to love my bride this last year, my family, my friends, and to me that is a blessing. And now as a pastor, I have a privilege of opening God's word with God's people. And I can just say this last year, wow, what a year. Now, I would also like to ask, as we clear up this year and we begin this new year, how many of you want the peace of God in 2017? Okay, a couple of you don't want the peace of God, and I'm worried about you. I don't know if I'll be able to sleep tonight because I do love you. Anyways, turn with me real quick to Philippians chapter 4, verse 4 through 7. You're familiar with this verse, but I think in the setting that we are in the New Year's day setting, I think it should take on a little added meaning for us because God's word is alive, by the way. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4 through 7. Here's what he says. He's going to give us the secret to having peace in our life this year. He says this, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing." There's one you got to work on. "But in everything," here you go. You want to know how not to be anxious. He answers us. "But in everything, by prayer and supplication," here you go. Here's the key. Important. "With thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God." And here you go. "And the peace of God," that you all raised your hand and said, "I want the peace of God." Here you go. Here's the key. "The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and mind through Christ Jesus." The peace of God will come to you when you take your cares. First of all, don't be anxious about your issue. Instead, take it to God in prayer. with thanksgiving. That doesn't mean, by the way, when he says rejoice always, again I say rejoice, the Lord is at hand, be anxious for nothing. When he's saying these things, he's not saying you're not going to have tribulation. He's saying, no, 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 no. You are going to have troubles. You're alive, aren't you? If you're alive, you're going to have troubles. I'm going to have troubles. We are going to have troubles. But the thing we can know is that God loves us and cares for us. So when I go to God in prayer, my prayer has to be knowing that he is faithful, believing that he is going to see me through this and his timing. So I come to him with thanksgiving. Not saying, you know, hey, I got cancer. Yay, God, I got cancer. No. But Lord, I have cancer. I'm not saying I do. I'm just saying if someone has cancer, it's like, Lord, I have cancer, but you're with me and you love me. And the worst thing that can happen is I pass from this life and I go into your presence. Hallelujah. Or you heal me miraculously and I tell everyone, hallelujah. Either way, it's glory to God, right? So I'm not saying be thankful for the difficulty you're in, but be thankful that you have a God who loves you in the difficulty you're in, and he will see you through. Important. Now, let me ask you. Think back on 2016. A lot happened. It was a very, very happening year in the, around the world. But let's talk about your world. In your life, this last year, can you think of things, and you should be able to, a myriad, but can you think of one thing that you are truly thankful that God did in your life this year? Maybe some of you got saved here. That's awesome. Maybe you've grown in the Word. Maybe your relationship. Maybe who knows? Now, here's what I want you to do right now. Think, does everyone have something in your heart that you are thankful to God for this year? Okay. Tell someone next to you, not your spouse or your friend that you came with. Turn around. Tell someone what you're thankful for and hear what they say they're thankful for. Now, don't get into like a 20-minute, well, first God did this and he took me around. No, just something simple, okay? Go ahead, do that. Tell somebody next to you that's not your spouse. All right, awesome. That's enough thankfulness. Stop it. That's awesome. Man, by the way, did you hear all of that thankfulness going on? Wasn't that beautiful? You see that? Yeah, amen. We serve an incredible God, and you just shared one thing. I bet if you started writing down all the good things God did, you could fill a book. The problem we have is we too often dwell on the difficulty or give you proof. And I'm not saying we shouldn't do this, but like 9/11, that's a tragedy. But so often, so many people make such a big to-do remembering 9/11. And you look through the scripture, God always says, remember the victories. Put an altar for the victory. Put up this for a victory as a memorial for the victories. Because we press on. We have to get to the point where we stop looking back at the defeats and look at the blessings. Because what will happen is we get depressed when we dwell on the defeats, the difficulties. But if you and I could start off every year and every day, wake up thanking God for the blessings, guess how your year is going to look this year? Holy moly, because he is a good God. Listen, Deuteronomy 6:12. You don't have to turn there, but you can write it down. Deuteronomy 6:12 says this. Then beware lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Now, we didn't come out of the land of Egypt, but I came out of a life of sin. I was in bondage to a whole bunch of sinful things, and God freed me from that. So even if this year was really rough, the one thing I can say is, God, you saved me from my sins and from myself. Hallelujah. This year was rough. This year was hard. I had these hardships, if that's your case. But are you saved? If you're saved, you have it all in Christ. So don't forget what God has done. That's where we fall into trouble. And that's the warning in Deuteronomy to the Israelites that is now an encouragement and a warning to us. Do not forget the blessings that God has brought to your life this next year, 2017. So let's get back to the New Year's resolve and not resolution. Too often, when we think of New Year's resolution, no one takes them seriously, right? Someone comes up to you and says, hey, here's my New Year's resolution. You just look at them and it's like, yeah, right. Uh-huh. I looked up the words, and by the way, resolve means to decide firmly on a course of action. See, I like that, resolve, you know, firmly on a course of action. And we're going to see Paul was that way. We're going to look at Paul a little bit here. But resolution, did you know that resolution has the same meaning, basically, that you have come to a conclusion, that there is a solution, and you have the resolve to follow through? But the problem is, even though resolution and resolve kind of have the same meaning, once we apply New Year's to it, a New Year's resolution, all of a sudden it has no meaning. It means nothing. It's almost like a joke. But Jesus said in Matthew 5:37, he said, let your yes be yes and your no be no. For whatever is more than these is from the evil one. Uh-oh. Here's what I say. Here's a little tip from your Pastor Andy. Okay. I think that we should not be allowed to make new resolutions until we've completed the old ones. You come to me, hey, Pastor Andy, I got a resolution. Oh, yeah, what was last year's? I don't remember. Okay, then go find out what it was. Make sure you completed it, and don't bring me a new one. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. How about that? I like what Oscar Wilde says. He says, New Year's resolutions are simply checks that men draw on the bank where they have no account. Yikers. So I thought, that's interesting. You know what? I wonder if there are some like really ridiculous New Year's resolutions out there. And guess what I found? Uh-huh. Let's watch. Here we go. Here's one. I will eat more nice things like candy, Big Macs, popcorn, ice cream, and eat less junk like fruit and vegetables and soy nuts. One person said this, my New Year's resolution is to find out what resolution means. Ooh, I like that. And for you men or you even ladies that are into high-def television, one person said, my resolution is 19 by 20 by 1080p. And if you want to update that, that would be 3840 by 2160 if you have 4K. Anyways, one person wrote this, and I think my wife from her childhood can relate. My resolution is to stop licking frozen light poles. What is that, the Christmas story, right? She apparently did that when she was a kid. That's hilarious to me. One man read, he said, find the owner's manual and actually read it. Oh, I love this one. I can so relate to this. I resolved to take my kids to the zoo when the animals aren't sleeping. And here you go. This is going to hit too close to home. I will spend less time interacting with people and more time on my phone. Yikes. Far too many people keep that resolution. We need to interact more and phone less. Here you go. One more. My New Year's resolution is to spend time finding out who I am. Let me tell you who you are. If that's you, let me tell you. You're a prideful, self-centered, and self-absorbed person. I got to find out who me is. Listen, and let me prove it. This is where I want to talk about resolution. Do you realize that most resolutions are self-centered? It's all about me. It's all about me. It's all about me. And a person who says, you know what, my resolution is to find out who I am this year. That's what I want to do. Well, you know what that's saying? That's saying, hey, who am I? Well, I don't know, but can I tell you? No, I don't want to hear about you. I need to find me. Who am I? I'm sorry I'm crushing your heart, but I have to leave you to find out who I am. Really? I'm sorry I'm destroying our family, but somewhere I lost me. No, you found you, and you are a sinner, and you're self-absorbed. And that's what happens. Listen, that's a horrible New Year's resolution. In fact, self-esteem, self-centeredness, and Scripture are diametrically opposed to one another. Let me show you something for the new year, okay? You want to make a resolution? Let's make godly resolves to seek God with all our heart. John chapter 3, verse 30. This is John the Baptist, the one Jesus said is the greatest man ever born unto woman. Here's what he said. And if he's the greatest man born unto woman, I think we might want to take note from him. He said, he must increase, I must decrease. Not I must find out who I am. No, he must increase, I must decrease. He who comes from above is above all. He who is from the earth is earthly and speaks of the earth. He who is from heaven is above all. Listen, you and I, we are here to increase Jesus Christ. We are here to bring him glory. We are here for his good purpose. But you wouldn't know that by watching the way some people fulfilled 2016. You would think it was all about them. Even Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who came down in the flesh, in Luke chapter 19, verse 10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Jesus didn't say, I came to see who I am, to find out who I am in this world. What was my purpose? No. Simply to save and to seek. And then, of course, one of my favorite verses, Matthew 20, 28. Just as the Son of Man did not come to serve, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. You see, the closer we get to God, the more we realize that this life isn't about us. It's about others. It's others' esteem, not self-esteem. So sometimes our year seems to not be fulfilling because we're all about fulfilling our own wants and needs. I find the most fulfilling years I've had in my life was when I was serving others to the uttermost. Let me show you Paul, right? Wouldn't you say, of all the people that you can think of in the Bible, was Paul devoted to seeking Christ? Yeah. Of course, God even approved of him that he wrote most of the New Testament. Here's what happened. In his first letter in Galatians, he wrote it around 48 A.D. Paul referred to himself as an apostle. But then he has a couple of New Years, a few New Years later. He writes 1 Corinthians in 55 to 57 A.D., and he says, I'm the least of the apostles. So one year, I'm the apostle. Then a couple of years, he has some New Years. He has some resolutions going on there, and he realized I'm a failure. And he says, I'm the least of the apostles. Then you move forward a couple more years. He writes the letter of Ephesians in 60 A.D., so he has some more New Years, and he's grown some more. And then he says, Paul, less than the least of all the saints. So he doesn't even call himself an apostle anymore. First an apostle, then the least of the apostles, now least of all the saints. And then as he comes to the end of his life, when he writes to Timothy, he says, I am the chief of sinners. In fact, you can't find a bigger sinner than myself. And yet, in all of that, Paul had such incredible joy and fulfillment in his life. You see, it's the opposite of the world. The world wants to have a great year. They want to accumulate all the toys. They want the prestige. They want everything except focusing on what Jesus Christ would want us to do. Paul, as he grew in his walk, realized just how much grace was extended to him from God. So here's the thing. We've ended a year. I'm praying that this year you realize just how much grace God has given me and God has given you, that we can be called Christians, that we can be saved. Listen, Paul knew what it was to have trials and difficulties. Paul was in jail. What was he doing? Singing. Paul was in jail. What was he doing? He was writing the book of Philippians. Count it all joy when you fall under trials. He knew what it was to have a difficult year. And every year as he went through difficulty, he knew that it wasn't about his circumstance. It was about the one who loves him. It was about Jesus Christ. It was about one day getting to go home to Jesus and be with Jesus. That makes everything that we go through tolerable. Even able equips us to have the ability, equips us to have the ability to praise Him and have joy in every situation. Wow. How about this? You want to find yourself? You want to find out who you are? How about Galatians chapter 2, verse 20? Please turn there in your Bibles. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. This is one of those verses that you probably have heard before. This is one of those verses that you need to hang on your belt, hang on your heart. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. You want to know who you are? You're trying to find yourself? If you're a born-again believer, here's who you are. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live, I live by the faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. That's who we are. You don't have to look any further. You don't have to go scouring the world and breaking relationships and going and sampling all these different sins in the world to find out who you are. No, you just need to open up the pages, surrender your life to Christ, and find true, lasting joy in every situation. Happy New Year. In fact, Paul said this. He said, I determine not to know anything among you except Christ and Him crucified. In other words, he's saying this. I don't need to know who I am. It doesn't matter who I am. It matters who He is. It matters who He is and what He has done. And listen, this year, next year, last year, the year before that, the year to come, hundreds of years from now, Jesus Christ is still on the throne. He's still in love with us. He still paid the price for all our sins, and it's free for us to come to Him. How beautiful is that? Now, there are those who still want to have a New Year's resolution. Good. Yay. Go ahead, but keep it. But I would say this, of all the resolutions you can make, how about the greatest resolution is to seek the face, not the hand. Seek the face of God more. Too often we want to seek the hand of God. We seek the hand. Hey, God, I need this. God, I need help with this. God, how about just seeking His face because He loves you? How about that? But it's unfortunate in the world. You know what? The world knows that we like resolutions. They do. And oftentimes the world wants to seek profit from our desire for resolutions, for New Year's resolutions. In fact, a lot of our life, our culture is exposed. All you have to do is look at TV, magazine, and newspaper ads, and you'll know a lot. Because watch this. Before Christmas, all the ads are about toys, electronics, perfume, and clothing stores. And cars. And what? Jewelry. Ladies. Of course the ladies. Jewelry. Little hint. Jewelry. But watch this. After New Year's, diet supplements, gym membership, exercise equipment, and oh yeah, scales. Right? I don't have commercial TV, but I see commercials here and there. But I will never forget this one commercial of this gal. She's obviously at the gym. She got out of the shower. She's got her robe on. Larger gal. And she's waiting to get on a scale. And there's a girl in front of her, all fit and trim. And she gets on the scale, and the scale says 110 pounds. And she gets off. Then this lady gets on, and the scale says, one at a time, please. It's like... Wow. Listen, I can't make this up. But do you, as insulting as that is, that's kind of insulting. You know what the most insulting commercial is at New Year's? It's these health clubs. They'll have silhouettes of athletic people, you know. And then they say this, a new year, a new you. You know what they're saying? There's not even enough of you to salvage. We have to start fresh, complete. There's nothing. We got to start all complete. This is a helpless cause. That's sad. That's sad. You want to make a New Year's resolution? Don't worry about listen, we should strive to be healthy. That's great. Do that. But more important, that we are spiritually fit. Because there are people who spend their whole life getting physically fit and their spirit is a mess. Now, what I want to do right now is I want to get our eyes back on the spiritual realm. And I'm going to give you four verses. I'm going to give you my life verse. The first time I read this verse, it has stuck with my heart. I'm going to give you the verse God gave me before I met my bride. I'm going to give you the verse that God gave my bride and I when we started our marriage. And then I want to give you the verse that God gave me as a pastor for you. So the first verse is my life verse, Matthew 6:33. The first time I read Matthew 6:33, it hit me, and I've strived, not perfectly, but I've strived to fulfill this verse. And here's what it says, Matthew 6:33. It says, but seek first. What are you to seek first? The kingdom of God and his righteousness. And here you go. And all these things will be added to you. We do it the opposite way. We seek all the things, and then we try to add a little God on our life on Sunday or Wednesday or whatever. God says the opposite. He says, no. Because actually, just before this, he's talking about don't worry about what you eat, what you put on, what you wear. Don't worry about that stuff. And he says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all else will be added to you. So this year, you want to know how to have peace, you got to seek God first. Put him as a priority of your day, of your week, and watch the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. Don't you want that? I think you do. That's why you're here, to start today, start New Year's. If you put God as your priority, he will blow your mind. Now, I'm not talking like these faith and prosperity guys. You know, you put God, he's going to just bless you with riches. No. He's going to bless you with something far greater. Spiritual peace. Spiritual riches. Power. When you tell people about Jesus Christ, they're going to come to the Lord. Because you're putting him first. And you're not quenching the spirit. I like what John Piper says. He says this, God is most glorified in us when we are the most satisfied in him. How about we bring this year the resolution or the resolve to bring God glory? Try that one this year. But don't break it. Keep it. And follow through with the resolve to bring God glory from day to day, not just from weekend to weekend or once in a while. And watch if it doesn't change, that you will have the best year of your life ever. Now, the verse God gave me before I met my bride, because I needed encouragement, and I shared this with some friends back in Houston, family, church family, that God gave me Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14 through 21. I needed encouragement, and he told me this. If you want to turn there, you can. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14 through 21. For this reason, I bow my knee to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth are named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory. You hear that? He will grant you according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man. Not the outer man, the inner man. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, the length, and the depth, and the height. To know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, here you go. Here's the clincher. Tell me you don't want this. Now, to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think, according to the power that works in us. To him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ to all the generations forever and ever. Amen. He promises if you seek him, if you seek to dwell with him, if you are grounded and rooted in his love, if you want to just simply comprehend the depth and the width and the height of his love, if that's your focus, he promises to do exceedingly abundantly more than you could ask or think. And God promised me that before I met Jennifer. I said, how can you, Lord? I'm in the desert. I'm a pastor. In Houston, there's a lot of Christians there. But in the desert, everyone who's godly is married already. They're all taken. Let alone to live an extreme life that I live, because I don't live a normal life. I'm not normal to begin with, but then I'm a pastor. It's a double norm, unnormal. Okay? And to find someone who's willing to deal with that. And then God brought me Jennifer. He promised to do exceedingly abundantly. Don't you want that for your life? I'm not talking about relationship. Listen, I sought God. I put God. I could have fallen away. Thank God I didn't. By his mercy and grace, I didn't fall away. He will do exceedingly abundantly above all that we think, according to the power that works in us. You see that? We have to get his spirit in us. And the only way I can get his spirit in us is to get all my junk out. Because if I'm full of me, there's no room for him. If you're full of you, there's no room for him. Empty yourself of you and he'll fill you with him. Isn't that a better deal? So in order to have God's power working in you, you got to empty yourself of you. And I think we all are here this morning because we want more of God this year. More power. And then Jennifer and I, we got married. And you would think that the birds came out to sing and butterflies were tying ribbons in her hair and she was feeding deer from her hand. You know, it wasn't like that. In fact, it was very, very hard. But God gave both of us the verse of Jeremiah 29:11-13. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me and find me. Here you go. When you search for me with all your heart. Too many of us, me included, tend to give God a portion of our heart. Well, that's good enough, Lord. You got a part of my heart. Don't be greedy. But isn't he our God? Didn't he create your heart and give you breath and knit you together in your mother's womb? Didn't he do all that? Doesn't he deserve your all? We'll give our all to other things, won't we? And so we struggled. But we both kept hearing that verse. I'll tell you a little story. I had written that verse. I don't know why. God just put it on my heart. I gave her a Bible, and I wrote that verse, and my writing is atrocious. And it looked to her like I put Genesis. What was it, Genesis 20? My writing looked like Genesis 27:11. It said, Esau is a hairy, hairy man. And she goes, Randy, what does this mean? I'm very scared. But even though we were struggling like you wouldn't believe, God kept making this promise. And you know what it took for us to grasp the promise? Not that Esau was a hairy, hairy man, but that he had a hope and a future for us. You know what it took? It took Jennifer and I both emptying ourselves of what we wanted and doing marriage the way he wanted. And it became exceedingly abundantly more than I could ask or think. Don't you want that for your life? See that? As a pastor, just like if you have kids, you always want your kids to have better than you, right? As a pastor, I want to see y'all blessed beyond measure. And so what I'm doing here today at the beginning of this year is I'm instilling in you the secret that I have found. And it's not a secret because God posts it all over His Word. The problem is we don't believe it. We don't apply it. Listen, a glimpse of God will save you, but to gaze at God will sanctify you. We need to be sanctified. We need to be made holy, set apart. Now, as a pastor, God gave me Psalm 1. And Psalm 1, it says, you don't sit in the seat of the scornful, don't stand in the path of sinners. Don't walk. I'm getting out of order. Sorry. But the main thing, when it gets down, it says, if you walk seeking God, that He will prosper everything that you put your hand to. I want you to go home and read Psalm 1. Even though it says a man, you can put it as a woman, as a Christian. If you walk not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. But our delight should be in the law of the Lord and meditate on it day and night. And whatever you do will prosper. Do you want to prosper? And I'm not talking prosper. Once again, let me make sure that you understand. I'm talking spiritually. All of this is spiritual. All of this is true joy, not temporary happiness, but spiritual joy, even in trials and difficulty. So let me encourage you. We're about to take communion, right? Yes. Okay. Just checking with the ushers. I'm not used to, normally that's where it goes, and we haven't had one since last year. So I'm like, I know I'm deep, huh? Anyways, we're about to take communion. And as you know, communion, we're going to have the very first communion of the year. When we take communion, it's about remembering what Christ did, which is supposed to move our hearts to a point of wanting to give back to Him from our life, because everything we have came from what Christ did on the cross, the sacrifice He made. So as we are going to hold the bread and hold the cup, why don't you make a resolve this year to read His Word more, because it's His love letters to you. To serve more, because He set the example to serve. Not to be served, but to serve and give His life. How about this? Resolve to pray more. You have difficulty? Pray over those issues. Earnestly. Now, let me explain something about prayer. I talk to people and I go, hey, you pray? Oh, yeah, over every meal. Great. Pray over your meal. But I'm talking about intimacy where you get alone and you just talk to God and pour out your heart. You set aside. You turn off the TV. I like to drive and pray. Or sometimes, my wife is asleep and I'll sit and I'll talk to God and I just cry sometimes or whatever, but it's a good time. Pray to God. Really have a relationship with God. Not, well, yeah, I pray. Oh, God, get that guy. He's a terrible driver, insensitive driver. Get him, Lord. Oh, it's Pastor Randy. Okay, we'll forget him this time. I'm talking about real prayer. How about this year we resolve to have deeper, intimate prayer? How about this? Praise more. Get in the habit of just praising God. Not just when you come in here, but especially when you come in here. Listen, if you can't praise God when they're doing songs, the songs are beautiful, by the way. If you can't do it in here, you're definitely not going to do it out in the world. Get in the habit of just offering up a song of joy and praise. In other words, all of this, reading, serving, praying, praising, all of that speaks of giving God your whole heart, not just part of your heart. I like what one person says about worship. He says, when I worship, I'd rather my heart be without words than my words be without heart. So important. Don't make empty resolutions, but make a resolve and let that resolve come from deep within your heart. And by the way, By the way, you know how in the beginning I said that resolutions were mostly self-centered? Do you know that to pray to God and to seek God and to make a resolve to seek Him more, although you benefit, the real benefit is everyone else because you'll be a godly, loving person to them. Isn't that cool? So make that resolve instead of just an empty resolution. And let's see the most powerful, glorifying year unto Jesus Christ, who deserves our all, than we've ever seen before. And next year, when we have something to be thankful for, I won't be able to stop y'all because you'll keep going because the list will be so long. How about that? Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your incredible love, your mercy, your grace, your provision, your guidance, Lord. We thank you, Father, that you have given us the gift of eternal life. We thank you, Lord, for your divine protection this year. We are here because you have sustained us. Lord, we thank you that you are willing to give us daily guidance. Lord, I pray that we would seek your guidance. So important. Lord, thank you that you have miraculously saved our lives. Though we did not deserve salvation, you freely gave it. And Father, I thank you so much for the ultimate gift and the ultimate way to start the new year by seeking your Son, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, our Savior, the lover of our soul, the one who gave his all, the one who died on the cross and shed his blood, and has now allowed the Holy Spirit to reside in us because we have been washed clean. Father, may we not forget the horrific cross, the horrific penalty, the punishment, the death. The cross that was meant for death. As David Crowder sings, is our salvation. Father God, I thank you so much for not leaving us in our sins. And Lord, giving us another year, another opportunity, Lord. What an opportunity to start this year seeking your face and then finish the race, Lord, to go to the end of the year and say, yes, I've done all. If I were to die today, I would hear, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Lord, I want to pray for the elements as we pass them out, that you would bless the elements. Father, that you would encourage each person to take the elements not lightly, but very seriously, and to reflect on this year. And did we bring glory to your sacrifice? Thank you, Father. Praise you, Lord.